At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What is going on, everybody? We are live. It is a Wednesday, August 6th, in the middle of the day. And you know what? We're going to talk 49er football. And I have a special guest. Yeah, don't adjust your screen. There's two of us here. I got my main man, John Chapman, from the 49ers Rush podcast. Welcome aboard. What's up, man? How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing great. I had a really good time hanging out with you in the, you know, just at practice and talking about things and stuff. And I told him, I was like, Raj, we need to record together, but you need to understand I will bring absolutely nothing of value to this show. But I appreciate you having me on, dude. Really appreciate all you do for the community. Mr. Social Media himself. It's an absolute honor to be with you, Raj.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I told you the same thing. I'm not going to bring anything to your audience. So, hey, we're one in the same here. I appreciate everything you do. You do such a good job with your 49ers Rush tour, man. It's crazy. I've heard a lot of people. Now they're like, oh, yeah, you saw Chapman on training camp the other day. Oh, tell him about the tour. Actually, Larry last night was like, oh, yeah, I know John because you were on with him on KBR. I was like, oh, yeah, I was with Chapman at the other day. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I'm going to one of his Rush tours. I'm like, oh, you're going to have a lot of fun there, Larry. So your Rush tours are becoming pretty well known. So you do a great job with those and, good stuff with that, man.
Thanks, man. And my rule is always the same. If you ever come to an event, drinks on me always. And yeah. It's all about brotherhood and just getting to know people and building the community. But, man, finally get a little bit of a day off. You got the Broncos coming in soon. How are we feeling about the state of the 49ers, Raj?
Other than the injuries, I'm cool because, like, football's starting. So I'm very excited. I'm very hyped up. You know, to me, I haven't been this juiced for a while because this offseason was crazy, you know, slow news. They didn't really go crazy in offseason. You know, they paid their guys. It wasn't like a dramatic thing, which is good. But now football is on the horizon. We got a game on Saturday. And tomorrow I am absolutely excited because we get a joint practice and we actually get to see it. We get to go to a joint practice. Like, this is one of the first times I think the 49ers have hosted a joint practice in Levi Stadium. It's going to be amazing. So I am super excited about that. We'll talk about that today. And yeah, man, football's around the corner. I'm finally here, man. I'm starting to get back in that mode. And I think the fans are too. I think everybody's starting to get like really just juiced up. They're like, oh man, we're playing a game on Saturday. I can't believe I get to post a game day post on Saturday. I had it ready. I was looking at it yesterday, John. I was like, dude, we have a game day post. I'm going to be able to post this a few days. Like, I'm literally going to be able to type, it's officially 49ers game day. I can't believe it. We are here.
It's been too long. You know, and my thing that I'm like probably most excited about is just to get film, my hands on all 22 new tape. Like, I need to see. Yeah, we've done all the rookie posts and projections and mock drafts and all that stuff. But, man, we've got 11 rookies and 5 undrafted free agents that we haven't seen in a Niners uniform going against another opponent. Yeah, it's one thing at practice and threes on threes and all that kind of stuff. But now we get to see. Does Alfred Collins belong? Is he that good against the run? Is Mikael Williams, who I think these young pups are going to get a lot of snaps, at least in the first and second preseason game. It's time, man. I'm like a little kid at Christmas. You know, I told Larry this yesterday. Like, I'm ready to unwrap these presents.
Yeah, I am. You're right. There's so much young guys. Yesterday, Robert Saleh said there's going to be probably 8 new starters on the defense. That's crazy. So it just showed you they got rid of a lot of guys. They brought in a youth, you know, movement, which is good. They needed it. You get a fresh, young group of players. Maybe you develop them. They become superstars. Who knows? It's a young, hungry team, and they're getting to go play their first few games in their NFL career. So it's great. Some of them won't make it, but they get a lot of film on tape. and I'm excited for certain players. And, you know, it's cool to see these new guys because it's like we really don't know. We see their college film, but college film is so different than when they get to the NFL. And Alfred Collins, perfect example. That's your boy. I know you're a Hook'em Horns guy. We were talking. So let's go right into it. So Alfred Collins, he hasn't really gotten the biggest reviews yet because he's kind of behind the eight ball. Didn't go to minicamp, rookie minicamp. Didn't go to OTAs. He had the calf issue. Maybe it was not a calf issue. People are speculating. Contract situation. And now he's there. He doesn't look like overpowering. 6'5", 320. You know everything about Alfred Collins because you watch that, man. You watch Texas ball every weekend. You study the film. What is your overall just like assessment on Alfred Collins? And are you worried that he's having a slow start to camp? What's your take on that?
Well, I think you have to understand what he brings to the table. Like, he's not your sexy pass rusher, never was. He was a two-gapper, and what that means was he's a read and react, stay at the line of scrimmage, and just clog everything up. Just make a mess out of everything. That's what he did. You know, Pete Kwiatkowski, the defensive coordinator at the University of Texas, completely different scheme. Completely different scheme. Much more of an odd front, kind of a 3-3-5 type set. Now he's transitioning to a 4-3. So you're asking him to start doing things that perhaps he's not used to doing. And you brought up, you know, he missed mini camp with the calf or contract, whatever you want to say, kind of a Juwan Jennings 2.0 spot right there. But he's not the type of guy that is a penetrating defensive tackle. That's not who he was. If you've ever, he played 64 out of 65 games over 5 years at Texas. That's not what he did. His job is to neutralize blocks and take up two blockers, play in and play out. And if you're just watching the one-on-ones, yeah, that's not his time to shine. But in team drills, find some bad reps in team drills for me. I don't think you're going to. You know, you and I, we were right next to each other, and it was kind of back-to-back plays in team. There was a screen play. Dude hustled out of his mind, would have had a tackle for about a three-yard stop. The very next play, they run inside gap right at him. The running back took one step and then had to cut back, and he cut right back in the arms of C.J. West, the other defensive tackle. If you view Alfred Collins as kind of a point guard mentality versus the run game, he's helping everybody else's job to be better and easier. Now, if you're a box score stat watcher, you're not going to like Alfred Collins.
Yeah,
he's not going to have a lot of sacks and quarterback hits. That ain't it. But on early downs, he's going to make it better for everybody else on this team. And if you go to 2024, Raj, probably the worst run defense in 49ers history, you're fixing the biggest issue, and I think Alfred Collins does that.
Yeah, and that was a massive issue last year. I remember the questions to Nick Sorensen, your run defense is getting gashed. How do you fix it? He couldn't tell us. He couldn't tell us. So now you got Mykal Williams, who's good at setting the edge. And I think you're right. You know, you got C.J. West. He's the guy that's going to hit the quarterback. He's going to run and get the quarterback. And if what you say is true, 6'5", 320, a guy that if his job is to – plug the gaps. That's pretty good plugging with a guy that's that big. So really, he's just going to take space. I'm happy with it. Just got to stay healthy, and he has to be able to move and, you know, get those reps up, get the pad level up. But honestly, I'm excited to see what he can do because this is a good time for him to prove himself because, yeah, everybody's doubting him in camp. Like, oh, no, he's not looking good. And I think you made a good point. One-on-ones, if he's not a pass rush guy, he's going to get beat. He's not a pass. He doesn't have the move. So, yeah, he shouldn't be winning those reps. But I'm excited to see him. But the guy I'm really – really, I think everybody wants to see this guy. C.J. West, man. Holy smokes. You've seen it in camp. Everybody's talking about him. Like, this is the star of training camp as far as the rookies go. I mean, Upton's kind of rising. But C.J. West, since day one, it was like, wow, wow. This guy looks so fun. You know, they had the depth chart, unofficial depth chart. You take that with a little grain of salt. But he was listed as a third-string defensive tackle. I don't know what to make of that. I think he'll, by the end of the preseason, he'll work his way into that starting role because this man is violent. He's so good on the pass rush. Like he's swimming out there. He dominates these guys on those pass rush reps on the one-on-one. So I'm excited to see him. Mykal Williams, there's so much talent on this defensive line, man, compared to last year. And if they can't stop the run with all these guys, something is fundamentally wrong. So I think they'll definitely improve in that aspect. And there's just so many other rookies. Upton Stout, this man is making – diving PBUs on a daily basis. The man is going one-on-one with the biggest you know, weapon on camp, Ricky Pearsall, and those two guys are getting at each other. Physical, I think Upton Stout's physicality really gets into his head, but I'm excited. What other rookies are you most excited to see play on Saturday? Who do you want to see?
You know, I really want, like, I'll pivot here, and I'll go with two of the guys we haven't really seen a lot of. Marquise Siegel, the safety. Like, again, another guy that missed camp. He had that core muscle issue, so he missed camp OTAs as well. Kind of buried on the depth chart, but you talk about upside. That guy's got it. And, you know, the 49ers, it wasn't their plan to draft him. Yeah, Robert Saleh talked about how there were a bunch of offensive guys that they were planning on taking at that spot. All those offensive guys went off the board, and Robert Saleh sitting in the back of the room and says, hey, I got a guy. And so then they go get him. I think that's huge. And then right there, I saw the comment, Jordan James, one of the two rookie running backs, whether that's Jordan James, if he does play, we'll have to see, or Corey Kiner, who has just been – show up every day, take out the trash, get the damn job done. Like, 49ers love these types of running backs. And, man, I think this would be the fourth time that the 49ers have added not one but two running backs in the same draft with, you know, an undrafted free agent and a draft pick. All three other times, the latter picked running back was the one that outshined the earlier one. Not sure that's going to be the case with Corey Kiner, but, hey, 49ers fans love undrafted free agents. All the way back to Father Shanahan, this has kind of been a theme. So why not? Let's get some rookie running backs in there. And if Jordan James doesn't go, that Corey Kiner hype train is going to be full steam ahead after Saturday's game.
Absolutely. I think those two guys are going to be fun to watch. And, you know, with Isaac Rendo, he's on the mend right now dealing with the shoulder. So I expect Jordan James to go and take such an advantage of these opportunities. But you're right, Corey Kiner also – he's going to make it tough for this 49er team to cut him. And last year they had a situation. You had Cody Schrader. He looked great. And it's like the 49ers do this every single year. They get this like star undrafted guy. It's like, why did you draft a running back? If you know your undrafted guy, it's going to be a stud. You know, Elijah Mitchell. Oh, no, he was a late round pick. Jordan Mason. Sorry. They did it with Jeff Wilson Jr., Matt Breida. It's just their formula. Like, they know what they're doing. They get a running back. Okay. Just in case. We're going to go undrafted because there's so much talent that gets passed up and they always hit on an undrafted guy. And I'm so excited. I talk to Larry all the time. He's like the Corey Kiner, like he might be his agent. He might be his like his president of his fan club or something. Because this man told me that Corey Kiner is like Emmett Smith. I was like, okay, it's crazy. But, you know, he talks about his contact balance. So I like that one. I like that you pick Corey Kiner because if all the hype is true, I need to see him. But he has ran so well in training camp. It's just like he's consistent, and that's what you see every day. He doesn't change. Like, when the pads come on, it was the same as when the pads were off. And that's what you want to see out of these players, especially these young guys. Does it change when the pads come on? And there have been some players we'll talk about in a minute of players that didn't look the same in pads and without pads. So I'm excited for the running back. There was a comment about offensive line. I think we all want to see these backup offensive linemen. Like, we know our starters. We know who we have, Trent, Ben Barch, Brendel, Colton McKivitz, and Dominic Putin. Like, we've seen it. It's pretty much the same unit as last year. But these backups, they got a lot of competition. You know, Andrew Dillard's injured. Spencer Burford, he's been playing tackle, and he doesn't look necessarily good at tackle. There's a lot of guys, Austin Pleasant, you know, and Nick Sakel. This is now, what, his third season? Let's see if he could do something. And, you know, that O-line is definitely one of those positions where I can't tell you who's going to be on this line other than those first five guys. So we'll see. Well, did you see anything specific when you were looking at O-line at training camp the other day?
You know, I think the number one position that's kind of sitting there and has a little bit of room to give is that left guard spot. You've heard words like, oh, it's Ben Barch's job to lose. But this Chris Forster and Kyle Shanahan, they love Nick Sakel. So I think that's the one area where it's like, hey, there's a little bit of give and take there. But you're talking about, okay, can Spencer Burford lock down the left tackle backup spot? Can Austin Pleasance, before Andre Dillard comes back, win that right tackle job? Can Matt Hennessy prove, like a lot of us think, I think he might be a little bit better than Jake Brendel. I don't think it's a competition, and even if he does play better, I don't think he's going to get more playing time. But could he be the eventual replacement to Jake Brendel, who's 32 years old? So a lot of those backup spots, Connor Colby, who you mentioned, like, can that guy put it together? Drew Moss. There's a lot of youth that you're going to get to see play. Last year in that first preseason game, a lot of the offensive starters played like 11 snaps. So the majority of this game is going to be backups. And I think that that's important because with the injuries the 49ers have had, you're going to see these backup players at some point. No doubt about it.
This episode is brought to you by PrizePicks. You and I make decisions every day. But on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over 3 seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2 to 6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than 1 rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick 2, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
Oh, absolutely. And they need these reps, and you got to see who's going to be worthy of sticking on this roster, because that to me is probably, you know, obviously the best, the most important position. You can't protect your quarterback that you just pay $53 million a year. You're in trouble. So definitely excited to see who steps up and who becomes something. So I don't know, man. I'm a little worried about these guys because they don't look too great in camp. But a lot of times the defense is ahead of them typically. So hopefully they show us something, some good film coming up on Saturday. And even in joint practices, I want to see these guys be able to really like just overpower Denver. If they can look good on joint practices, then I'll be a little bit more confident. Because right now, not too confident on this O-line, so we'll see. Your boy, Jake Brendel, huh, from Gabe?
Oh, goodness.
Are you, like, a Jake Brendel fan?
I'm a former coach, and like, certain things kind of really, really bother me. And so whenever he stops in the middle of the play and just turns around and watches, like, CMC or Brock Purdy just get, like, manhandled, I can't, like, that is just – like it just grinds my gears. What? Yeah, it's just like, why are you watching? The play is still going. Like, do something. Jake Brendel probably gets more hate than he deserves. He's playing at the level in which he is being paid. You are getting what you're paying for and a little more. He's one of the lowest paid starting centers in the NFL. Hasn't missed a game in 3 years. Iron Man. There's lots of positives. Smart as hell. Crazy athletic. It's just, man, will you just fight until the whistle? And, you know, his blunders or low lights or whatever you want to call it, they're about as bad as anybody in the NFL. But great locker room guy, great character guy, tough as hell. Just stopping. I can't handle that. And in short yardage and, you know, whenever it's up against a goal line or 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, he's probably the worst center in the NFL. That's like where his biggest deficiency is at the point of attack. No play strength whatsoever. It's problematic. I've been wanting the 49ers to get a center forever, and just not happening. It's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah, I agree. I've been preaching that for a long time. And, you know, credit to Brendel. He was a journeyman, and he found his way to becoming a starter. I get it. It's a cheaper route. You know, the 49ers don't always, you know, put a priority on O-line. So this guy, he stuck on the roster. I think he found his way up from, like, the bottom of the barrel. He worked, finally got a starting spot, you know, after Alex Mack was gone. And I agree. I think they need like a premium center. But hey, he does a lot of intangible things that you can't put a value on, locker room guy. But sometimes locker room guy is not going to help you win games. I get it. I get why he's there, but I agree. Maybe this is his last season with team. And if it is, I hope he plays his ass off because we need a good player at center. Just like Colton McKivitz. Like, a lot of people hate Colton McKivitz because he's not good. And I get the pushback on him. They're like, oh, my God, I can't believe we have another year of Colton McKivitz. Hey, he's in a contract year. He wants to be a Pro Bowler. If he goes out there and plays amazing, I'm going to vote him for a Pro Bowl because I want him to make his money. Because if he's playing good, that means we're doing good on the right side. So I want these guys to play good. So it's, to me, you know, I'm not going to shit on it, Jake Brent. I'm not going to crap on, you know, Colton McKivitz. Hey, yeah, they may not be the best, but if they play better than they supposed to, it's great for the Niners. That's all we need. So, hey, I hope he earns his money, because if he earns his money, it means he did good for us. So that's my take on the O-line. But, yeah, definitely a little concerned. But another position I'm a little concerned about, I'm going to pivot over to wide receivers. This is a position where there's a lot of uncertainty because of injuries, and we don't know, you know, who's going to be there week one. This is a good opportunity for a lot of these young guys. You mentioned Juwan Jennings. Is he really injured? Is it a legit calf injury, or is he playing, you know, the hold-in, hold-out type game because of the calf issue and he doesn't want to get hurt? He came out there, he practiced, and then now he's not there. And Kyle muffed that up when they asked him. I think Cam Inman asked him about, hey, is he really hurt or not? And he's like, you ask him. We said it's a calf injury, so we're going to be careful. That was like, oh, man, I can't believe that. And then you got Pascal, who looks fantastic, but he's very, you can't take too much on him because you don't want to get him hurt. Because if you don't have Purcell, then you're really screwed, because you got Cowing dealing with the hamstring. He was out there running yesterday. Brandon Ayuk, he's on PUP. And then you have Jordan Watkins, who's a rookie. Kyle doesn't always play rookie. So it's a weird situation. And then today, Isaiah Nair, who everybody thought was going to be the next Randy Moss after he made a fantastic play, he got released and he got signed by the Packers. This is a guy that, yeah, you have to be able to be consistent. We were talking about Corey Kiner earlier, how he's consistent every day. Isaiah Nair, as soon as the pads came on, he disappeared. He had like two catches in camp. So he had talent, but the 49ers are telling you, be consistent. So I'm excited to see this wide receiver group because there's so many questions. What do you say about the wide receiver group? And Juwan Jennings, what's your take on Jennings?
Yeah, you and I were kind of we were going back and forth at practice, because I'm not saying he's healthy. Like, I 100% believe it is a calf issue. My biggest issue is, why are you not out there? Like, put a walking boot on. You can stand out there. It's not going to, you know, trigger anything, whatever else. Why are you not out there? But then, you know, you were one of the ones that captured, you know, the elite Brandon Ayuk handshake at the middle of practice field last year that went viral, whatever. And it's like, I understand the idea of, look, dude, if you don't want to practice because of the contract, just stay the hell out of sight. I get that. Like, we don't want the more distractions like we had in the past, especially when the fans are out there. But I do believe that this is a contract first issue, a health second issue. Not saying he didn't injure his calf. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think he would be out there at least working on the sideline. You're seeing all these other injured 49ers working on the sideline with their injuries, except for him. Except for him. So, you know, personally,
that's such a good point, because, you know, and when we talked about it, I said, I was like, I feel like it's injury. You don't want to, you know, JJ's the type of guy that's not going to do that. But as soon as Kyle had that little comment, I was like, oh, this is different than what I thought. So I agree, because that's such a good point you make, John, that he would have came out, at least been on. He's not even, you don't even see him. Nobody's even mentioned him being in the building. So you think that if he gets paid, he's going to rub a little couple hundred buckaroos on that calf, he's gonna feel good?
Miyagi style, baby. It's just weird. Just all of a sudden you just put those hands together and boom, healed. And that's what's best for the 49ers and him. And so I really hope that they just come together and say, look, we're gonna bump you up $2.5 million fully guaranteed. But I don't think that there's going to be an extension here. I don't see that. The 49ers have kind of shown their hand at the wide receiver position. You have Ayuk long-term. He's signed for several more years. Ricky Pearsall, you have under contract for 3+ that fifth-year option. You have Jacob Cowan. You have Jordan Watkins. The young guys, and DeMarcus Robinson, you signed a 2-year deal on. So that's your kind of – I'm not saying they're all better than Juwan Jennings. I'm saying you're already allocating so much money to that Brandon Ayuk contract, which I think is one of the worst signed contracts in the NFL, regardless of position. You're talking back-to-back $40 million cap hits on the horizon. There's no need to pay another wide receiver. And it's not so much that Juwan Jennings doesn't deserve it. It's that I don't see the value in paying second contracts or third contracts the wide receiver position. I want to pay linebackers, running backs, tight ends, guards, defensive tackles, because those markets haven't blown up yet. So whenever you're looking at the opportunity cost, don't pay the inflated positions that you already are. Allow him to go get paid elsewhere. Juwan Jennings gets his, you know, be a number one or number two wide receiver somewhere else, gets the money. 49ers get their comp pick. It's just the way they keep trying to rebuild.
Yeah, I agree. The comp pick especially. Like, I love JJ. He deserves money. He played so good last year. Every year, he's worked his way up from the roster. He's a seventh-round pick. First year, he pretty much missed it because of the hamstring. He said it. I remember he posted something like his hamstring was tore off his bone. Like, it was bad. And nobody even knew who the hell Juwan Jennings was at that point. He worked his way up, and he became a fantastic receiver last year. Should have got 1,000. Does he deserve more money? Yes. But he's 28. He's not the fastest guy in the world. And as much as I hate to say it, you can replace him with a draft pick next year for a lot cheaper. So there's a business component that comes, and he can go to another team and earn so much money if he continues to play the way he has. And that's what I think the Niners should do. But it is a weird situation. Does he deserve more money? Yeah, I agree. But nothing like 18, 20. And I think if you give him $2 million guaranteed, I think that should be fair. But anything more than that, then it starts getting crazy. And I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Every year, there's always some situation that kind of drags out. I hope they get to a resolution soon, because if we don't have Juwan Jennings, to be honest, though, that receiver group takes a big hit. And you mentioned Demarcus Robinson, great player. He's been very consistent in camp, but he has a looming suspension, right? There should be a judgment in the next couple of days. I think Addison from the Vikings, they ruled on him yesterday, 3-game suspension. So it probably seems like Demarcus Robinson is going to get that. So for the first 3 games of the season, if you don't have Jennings, you don't have Robinson, you don't have Ayuk, Ricky Purcell is going to get 30 carries, man. Put him on your fantasy team. You know?
I was pretty upset when I saw that Jordan Addison thing came down, because the NFLPA is in turmoil, change in leadership, all that stuff. The shootings in New York office. I mean, just so much craziness has gone on. I wasn't sure how the NFL would turn around and start handing these out timeline-wise. I thought it would be much later. But now that the Addison ruling has come down, it does seem like, okay, there's a handful of other players in the NFL, Demarcus Robinson included. Mm-hmm. Expect those anytime soon. And I finally came to the kind of realization, you know what? If Demarcus Robinson and Ricky Pearsall are your number one and two wide receivers, I'd be okay with that. Like, if you told me Demarcus Robinson and Pearsall are your one and two heading into week one against Seattle, it's not like I'm in love with it, but I finally was like, you know what? I think that this is something manageable. Stay in 12 or 21 personnel, two wide receiver sets. You can do your thing.
Yeah.
But now it's like, man, now it's Pearsall and who would be? So if Jennings doesn't play, Cowan's still banged up, it'd be Russell Gage, don't you think? Like, that would be your
Robert or Jordan Watkins. You think they're going to elevate Jordan Watkins? It might be you're probably right. They probably go with the veteran at that point, because
Gage just looked good.
He's looked good in camp. He's looked really good. But it's a tricky situation, because I think they'll also keep Bergeron just to be a kick returner, but he's not going to be a wide receiver for you. So
no. It's
a tricky situation. So it really comes down on who they keep. So if they keep that sixth receiver, now he becomes your wide receiver too. If there's injuries to everybody else, that means George Kittle is going to be very busy week one. And I wouldn't hate Demarcus and Ricky, you know, moving forward, if that's what we had to do for a few games. But when you don't have Demarcus, that's when it becomes an issue, if Juwan Jennings somehow is still hurt or whatever. But I don't know. I hope it's just, you know, he just needs to Miyagi the calf with the money. And I don't know, because that's another position. I'm a little worried. But again, that's why I'm excited to see these games coming up these next few weeks, especially Saturday. Who's going to step up? Is Russell Gage going to show me, oh, man, maybe he is okay? You know, is Jordan Watkins going to show that, oh, wow, he's better than I thought? Is Jacob Cowan going to be healthy? You know, and if he is, okay, good. Let's see what he has, because they were topping up a big game with Jacob Cowan during OTAs. Everybody says, oh, wow, big year. But we hear that about a lot of players every year. They're second year. You know, the hype train follows a player, but then something happens and it derails them. And I hope it doesn't derail his rise, because he looked like he was primed for a good year.
I want to ask you a question. You know more about this stuff than me. This dude pulled his hamstring on routes on air the first practice. He never, like, really? Like, yeah. And I'm a Jacob Cowing fan, and I'm not trying to, like, it's not so much like a blame thing or whatever, but you're smarter whenever it comes to the human body than me with your background and all those things. Like, against routes on air, pulled his hamstring.
Yeah.
This is, that's a big deal, man. It's a huge deal.
Yeah. Anytime you have a non-contact injury, even if it's a hamstring strain or a muscle strain, it's an issue. And to me, I see it all the time. You were there at training camp. You see the difference between some of these younger players and like a Bosa. Bosa's stretching all day. This man comes out. He's stretching, still stretching. Okay, he's stretching. Okay, now I'll go warm up. Like players like him and Kittle and Warner, they get it. You got to stretch. You got to keep your body loose. I don't see a lot of these younger players go out there and stretch for too long. And Jacob Cowing, he might stretch for like a minute, two. Cool. We got it. We stretch. All right, let me go right to it. They want to get to it, which is great. I get it. They're eager. I just don't see the 49er players stretching as much as they need to do. I say it almost every week on some show, on some podcast, some live stream. I don't know. I say stretch, damn it. And I'm going to tell Jacob Cowing, stretch, damn it. You're a good player. We need your hamstrings to be unhamstrung. We need you to be good to go. Because if you're not stretching, those muscles get tightened up. But I don't know. I think it's just these younger players, for whatever reason, they feel invisible. I mean, I had people tell me, yeah, when I was in high school, I used to get hamstring injuries and be able to bounce back real quick. And I know a lot of people that was the case. Well, you're not in high school anymore. You're playing college. You're not in college ball anymore. You're playing at a high level. You need to keep your body flexible and loose. Just stretch, man. If you stretch for 5 minutes, maybe next time stretch for 10, because we cannot afford these soft tissue injuries, man. And it's becoming a big issue with the 49ers. Like, you look up and down that roster, it's like every single day, okay, this injury, this injury, this injury. And the majority of them are just soft tissue issues. It's like, just stretch.
Stretch, water, be prepared. But yeah, calf and hamstring injuries drive me insane. As a coach, I would tell my players, this is preventable. This is preventable. I mean, I understand they're going to happen, but whenever you have guys like Isaac Grindo, who's had 20 hamstring issues, Ricky Pearsall, you know, Jacob Cowing, like, it's just like, come on, guys, like, take care of your body, take care of your body.
I'm telling you. I mean, you look at a guy like Nick Bosa, this man, you could tell he puts in a lot of TLC into his body, a lot of money, I'm sure, clean eating, all that. This man, it's ridiculous. You look at him and some of the other players, like, oh, that's why he's the way he is. You know, it's like in the NBA, you got a guy like LeBron. This man spends like $1 million on his body every year. As much, you may not like the guy, like some people don't like LeBron, you know, whatever the case is, but this man has played what, like 20 something seasons. And I don't think he's really been injured that much, you know, over through his career. So it just tells you that you have to really, if you're an athlete, you're getting paid a lot, but you need to make sure you take care of your body, because that's what is your moneymaker. Your body is what's making you your money. So, you know, look at Debo last couple of years. He broke down. Doesn't look like he was always taking care of himself, and he would get injuries and stuff like that. So you just have to invest in yourself. And sometimes these younger players, they feel invisible, which I mean, they got superhuman athleticism. I wish I had, right? But that superhuman athleticism, you have to make sure you maintain it, or it's not going to be superhuman athleticism anymore. So
your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. Gear up for another banger of a football season with a full-service sportsbook and casino in one. Whether you're firing off futures, betting the spread, spinning the slots late at night, everything runs through one account, one wallet, no switching apps. MyBookie has it all. Right now is the perfect time to get ahead of the curve with college football kicking off August 23rd. MyBookie's got national championship, Heisman odds already live. Lock in your picks early before the lines start moving. And if you're brand new, you get a little extra juice. Sign up with promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan this QR code next to me. Drop in $100. MyBookie adds $50 for free. Go bigger, get more for your money. The action's heating up, the odds are moving, and this season is shaping up to be a good one already. Don't miss it. Bet big anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, including California, with MyBookie.
That's my takeaway with it. I'm a little irritated with those things, but yeah, overall, let's just hope these guys get back healthy. Yeah, all of them. There's a lot of injuries, but it opens the door for some players.
You know, and another thing I just saw, you know, Mayoko just put out, the 49ers just worked out four separate defensive tackles, the Kevin Givens injury, which that's probably the one injury that is a major, his second major pec injury. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan said he's going to be missing a lot of the regular season. Defensive tackle was already a super young position with very little veteran. You had Kevin Givens and you had Jordan Elliott. Now Kevin Givens is out. So they worked out four defensive tackles. Shaquille Brown, who was with the 49ers last year. Michael Dumfour, Siaki Ika, who I remember him coming out of the draft, and Philandrius Payne. Talk about the all-name team. Like, so somebody else is going to have to get cut. Now, you could move Kevin Givens to season-ending IR to open up a 90-man spot, but we've already seen him release a kicker. Kicker competition's over for now. They're struggling just fielding this team because if you're on the PUP or short-term IR, you still count as a roster spot during training camp. It's not like the regular season where you get another roster spot onto that 53. No, no, no. The Niners are struggling just to make minimums, and now you're heading into your first preseason game and joint practices. You remember the Niners canceled joint practices last year because they were so banged up. I don't think they're going to cancel this year, but they're pretty damn close as far as numbers go, just trying to fulfill the minimums of these rosters. So the injuries are just rough. And Ben says, you know, in the chat, Michael Dumfour was with the Niners as well for a short period of time. It's rough out there on these Niners streets, man.
It's tough. And you're right. That's what it is. It's a musical kind of chair type of roster right now. They're just fielding people in, getting them in and out to make sure that they have 90 guys on the roster. Like, it was funny yesterday, you get rid of Andy Isabella, you bring back Clemens St. Brown, and the funny thing is, you just cut St. Brown, right, to make room for Andy Isabella, so it's like back and forth. Isabella hurts his ankle, so you bring this guy, and the craziest thing, this man, Andy Isabella, he wasn't on the roster, so they bring back Clemens St. Brown. Literally 50 minutes into training camp, all of a sudden, you just see him sprinting out, putting his gear on. I'm like, did he not know he was going to play today? They just like, oh, dude, Andy can't make it. Can you drive down here? Oh, yeah, I'll drive down. I'm in Modesto. Like, that's what it seemed like. He just, like, took a quick trip down, threw out the pass, and then he runs in the drills. It was the funniest thing. It's like, that's where the 49ers roster is right now. They're fielding guys to make sure they have 90 guys. They cut people. They sign them. They cut people. They sign them. They cut people. They sign them. Me and you might be able to get a workout. We might be able to get a workout. I might be able to pull some strings tomorrow during joint practice. I'll let you know. I mean, hell, Robbie Chosen, they brought him back again. I mean, this is my guy. And
I've got a bet with Raj. Whenever he's the number one wide receiver and gets the first target of the game, I'm buying him a Robbie Chosen jersey. That's his favorite.
I need it. Yo, you told me something I didn't even know. I don't know if we can bring it up, but if you guys need to know, Robbie Chosen, go look up, go Google search his arrest back when he was with the Jets and just read.
Quote of the year.
My God. When you told me that, I couldn't stop laughing, dude. Oh my God. I can't read what he tells the police officer. You'll love it.
Quote of the year back when he was in Miami. Anyway, you guys go check that one out on your own. Just put it on private search.
Oh my God. Yeah. And, Joel Andrews over here, Andre says, if you guys get a workout, you better start stretching. Oh, please. I'll be the only one stretching.
Yeah, right. You'll be the first one out there. Vince Papale style. Let's go, baby. Yeah,
for sure, man. I'll be stretching and letting them know, hey, man, I'm not trying to tear my hamstring up, even though I'm working out. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So a couple of other tidbits in the news. Let me pull them up. Yesterday, the 49ers, they hired Gabe Haberman. Guy Haberman, he's going to be taking over Greg Papa's spot in preseason. Honestly, man, hyped up for a guy, get his opportunity there. And they hired a new, team reporter. So this team, they're moving forward. They got some new spots. It's going to be exciting to see that. So that's another little cool nugget to see for the 49ers games coming up. I mean, definitely a different style of voice, but I'm excited for Guy Haberman, man. So hyped for that. So that's a cool little tidbit there. Yesterday, George Kittle said that he was going to retire because they banned ammonia smelling salts and he needs the edge to keep him going. So, you know, you got some fun stories out there, but overall, it's just exciting to know that 49ers football is around the corner. And I don't know if there are any other big topics that you're like looking forward to this Saturday? Like, are there any other players that you're really looking forward to? Any things that you're kind of keeping your eye on the first? It's preseason, so, you know, you're not going to see a lot of starters. What do you kind of look for in preseason?
Yeah, one of the things is, like, you have these two quote-unquote physical football teams with the Denver Broncos and the 49ers. And so I want to see if that physicality is matched or kind of, you know, if the Niners can kind of dominate this game. Because we saw with Brian Schneider and Nick Sorensen, Niners got kind of soft last year. They got bullied in the trenches, especially on defense. Special teams has been god-awful forever. So can some of those things look cleaner, more pressed? And, you know, as a coach, when you're going into your first game, you want to set the tone. You want to establish dominance because that builds confidence. It doesn't matter if it's your backups, your threes. That's irrelevant. It's the culture that the 49ers have created. Can you go in on Thursday, whenever the joint practices starts, Thursday, Friday, and then you get into the game Saturday? You're going to be, you've been hitting your own dudes. You know, you've been going against your buddies in your own locker room for a couple weeks now. Can you go in there and establish and show this is who we are? Because if you look at what the 49ers have drafted, it's a bunch of hard-hitting, lunch pail, kind of nose-to-the-grindstone type of guys. Will that transfer over? Because you're playing against guys like Quinn Meinerz, Garrett Bowles, you know, Mike McGlinchey. You got freaking the Denver 49ers out there. You got really Talanoa Hufanga, Dre Greenlaw, DJ Jones, Mike McGlinchey. Like, you, it better matter to you. You know what I mean? It better matter to you.
Yeah, you're right. That it is the Denver 49ers. They got a lot of our players. It's going to be interesting to see them, you know, especially Greenlaw and Hufanga. They just signed this year. So going to be, you know, some reunited type vibes there. But, you know, you still got to treat them like, hey, man, you're not one of us anymore. You got to go out there and show them that they made the wrong decision. Interesting stuff from Greenlaw the other day. He said that he signed with Denver because they wanted me and this and that. It's weird, man. Some, you know, at first he says he wanted to be here, and then you go to a new team and you cater to them. So it's going to be weird to hear what they say after the game. But it will be fun to see those players. McGlinchey, yeah, former first-round pick. We get to, hopefully we crush that man if he does play.
And Bryce Huff. I want to see Bryce Huff get some reps against Big Mike out there.
Yeah, me too. Bryce is looking great. And, you know, DJ Jones, man, I wish we would have been able to bring him back. That guy was a big miss. And I hope that CJ West could be the next DJ Jones. Another guy, I don't know if he's still on the team, but he was there for a minute. Kaywan Williams, he was there with the Broncos for a hot second. I don't know if he's still on there, but that's a guy that Upton Stout's trying to emulate and play like. And that's the new nickel that everybody's saying he could be Shark 2.0. He even talked to him. He's looked at his film, and that's a guy that, you know, the Niner fans love. And I'm really hyped to see, well, Upton Stout. Can he be the next Kaywan? Can be better than Kaywan, because Kaywan was arguably the best nickel of the game for the period when he was
I remember when he'd come out and call the Shark, right? Like, that was cool. Yeah. Kaywan did. He went on a roster last year. I don't think he's with anybody right now. But, you know, again, just that identity of a nickel that is not scared to go in there and mix it up. That dude was 5'9", 180. Didn't matter. Like, he'll nickel blitz. He'll mix it up, whatever. Upton Stout is that mindset. It might be a little bit smaller, but he's way more physical, which is crazy. So, again, back to this idea of assert dominance and show we are going to be a physical football team. We're not coached by Nick Sorensen. This is a Robert Saleh defense, and you've got 8 new starters on the defensive side, including backups. Let's roll. Go out there and hit. Play fast. Don't overthink it. It's kind of the Robert Saleh tendencies on defense. Like, I know the clip last year when they asked Nick Sorensen, will you tell us your tackling philosophy? And it was like a 5-minute diatribe. And, like, it depends on how many people are rallying and where you're at. And are you breaking down or are you not? Are you a force? Are you a leverage? Are you an alley? And it was just like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah. Like, what are you doing? And, you know, I had one of the highest missed tackle rates since Shanahan's took over as a defense in general. We ain't doing that no more. It's simple. Rally, run through the ball. Let's make plays. It's football. Don't overthink it. Yeah, and
he
overthinks
all the time. It's literally time, he was over. He was trying to, like, circle around the answer because he didn't have the answers. And I get it. Not. He was a new defense coordinator. It would have been okay if he just says, you know, like, gave us some, like, basic vanilla answer. I'd be okay with that. But the fact that he sat there and would just, like, run us circles, and then your answer really didn't answer anything. You're creating more questions. it just makes you realize he didn't know anything he was doing. So I'm glad he's
Why did Kyle Shanahan hire you as a defensive coordinator? I don't know.
He must have some like dirt on him. He must have found like some like dirty pictures of Kyle cheating or something. And he's like, I'll show these to your wife if you don't hire me. That's got to be. That's the only thing I could think of, John.
He's blackmailing people. But he's with the Cowboys now. He's their special teams coach, and I could not be more thankful.
Good for him. I hope he runs the special teams to the ground. Speaking of special teams, you kind of mentioned that the 49ers did get a new special teams coach. That's another guy. That's another area that we really want to see because special teams lost a multitude of games for the 49ers. Let's be real. We talked about it the other day when we were at training camp. Field position, just putting them in bad spots, fumbles on the kick returns. It was just a mess. It was a miss. Missed tackles on the kick return. So they added a lot of players for the free agency in the offseason. It wasn't like big time signings. It was like Cyran Neal. Like those were the types of guys they brought to help the special teams. And then they had their little kicker competition, which turned out to not be a kicker competition. So all eyes are going to be on Jake Moody. And I don't think this man thrives under the pressure. So I think they might have done him a disservice. My theory is, okay, they brought in Greg Joseph. They had a little competition to help boost the confidence of Jake Moody. He wins the competition, and now he's, like, walking around, big man on campus. Now, if he shits the bed the next couple of weeks and he can't do his job, they'll call Greg Joseph. If he doesn't find a job in the meantime, which they probably released him, said, hey, all right, go find a job. We got a lot of these players that are injured. We can't keep you on the roster yet. Now, if you don't find a job, here's the plan. We're going to cut Jake if he doesn't, cut the mustard, and you're back with us. I think that's what it is. They got his number. They kept the receipts, and I really feel like that's the ace in the hole. But they got to see what, Greg Joseph's made of. They know that they can, bring him onto the roster and he could be the kicker if Jake doesn't, get the job done in the preseason. And this is a huge next couple of weeks for Jake. What do you think about the whole Jake Moody winning the kicker competition? He didn't even win the competition. He missed more than Greg Joseph.
It was never a competition. I mean, they didn't even bring in the like most quality free agent kicker. They brought in the cheapest free agent kicker that they could get on a minimum deal. Greg Joseph, sorry not to take more straight shots. I know. I'm sorry, Greg Joseph. You're awesome, but it's a mentality thing. Jake Moody has all the talent in the world, and that is the one thing that you do have to go back. Like this dude can make 60-yard field goals. It's just the mindset with the kickers. It's always between the ears, and that's terrifying because there's always major issues there. And whenever you look at Jake Moody, you do not feel confidence. I was at the Tampa Bay game when the whole stadium, Bucks and 49ers fans are laughing. Imagine having 60,000 people laughing at you repeatedly after you missed three field goals. Like, how do you overcome that? Maybe he needs a new situation, whatever. I hope he comes out and is just dominant and, whatever else. And like, maybe Jake Moody is something special. Jake Moody's here in the chat. There we go. Don't worry, Raj. I'm Money Mooney for a reason. Money Mooney.
I hope he's money, I don't know. I really hope that he can pay dividends because they did waste the draft. I mean, let's be honest. They took a draft for a kicker. It gets crazy. You put a lot of pressure on him to begin with. He drafted a kicker and a punter in the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch regime. So
highest drafted kicker and punter in the NFL, and neither one of them were even top five at any point in their career.
Yeah.
So far.
It's unbelievable, man. So this is Jake, man. You got an opportunity. You have nobody to compete with except yourself. Go out there. If you make every kick in the preseason, a lot of people will start, saying, okay, maybe he's got it. You just got it. Cause you guys got to make these kicks, man. And you're right. It's these long kicks. He just doesn't trust himself. And this offseason, he even changed his approach to the kick instead of like a three-step. Like he's done so much. When you get to that point, that extreme of measures, it's obviously all in here. So I don't know. Man. This is the last straw. I'm worried because I don't want to lose any more games because of a freaking kicker, man. Like, it is the most unbelievably, like, frustrating situation. Like, you're sitting there watching the game, and your hands are behind your head. You close your eyes. You can't watch. And you're like, if he makes it, we win the game. You're like, oh, my God. If he misses it, you lose the game. After all that hard work, like, I can't imagine going through that full, four quarters – just grinding, and now you're here, and it comes down to one kick. And if your team misses it, that's the most such a bad feeling, man. And I hope he doesn't get feeling to us.
I'm with you. And, like, I want to push back because a lot of people are like, well, it was just because of the ankle injury whenever he tried to tackle on kickoff return. No, that is recency bias and incorrect. You go back to the playoff run of 2023. He missed a kick in every single playoff game, including the Super Bowl. One missed kick each game. Like, so, no, he was not injured at that point. It's a pressure situation. It is a pressure situation. So I know a lot of people, including Kyle Shanahan, are like, well, he was injured. He was great till he was injured. Well, pump the brakes. Go back to that playoff run against the Green Bay Packers, missed a kick. Against the Detroit Lions, missed a kick. And then some people are like, well, that kick was blocked. Go back and look at the trajectory. It didn't get 6 feet off the ground, Raj. Yeah, it didn't get 6 feet off the ground. And then he missed the extra point in the Super Bowl, which went to overtime. And talk about the different trajectory there. So for those of you that are like, oh, well, it's the ankle. Now he's healthy. He's good. I'm going to say I disagree there a little bit. Yeah. I hope he is awesome. And I hope he's a Pro Bowl, all-pro kicker. But you got to show me something. You're the highest drafted kicker in the NFL. You ranked 34th out of kickers last year. There's only 32 teams.
You ranked 34th. There's only 32 teams. That's beyond bad. That's beyond last place. That's crazy. I didn't know he ranked that.
Tony, give me a drinking problem, Raj. This is an issue. My liver. Come on now.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, if you play the game where you take a drink every time he misses a kick, you'd be you have ETOH, man. You'd be in alcohol rehab for that situation. So I am with you. I want to see him do good. It's just like McKivitz and Brendel and those guys. If they do good, that means we're doing good. But also to the point of, you know, special teams, I hope we don't have to rely on that situation because one issue we had last year was red zone. I need to see the Niners be better in the red zone, more efficiency. Because, hey, if you're scoring touchdowns, you don't even care if you're missing field. You're not caring if you're having to kick field because you're not going to kick field goals. I want to see if the 49ers could get to that point where they're just scoring offense. And I think a lot of that is with Christian McCaffrey. You know, he didn't play much last year. He missed a multitude of games because of the bilateral Achilles. If he's healthy and he can be that guy, then I think that's going to help our red zone and we won't have to rely on Jake Moody as much. So that's a big key. Health with all these players is definitely a key, but I think the health of Christian McCaffrey is among the most paramount. He's, you know, on track to hopefully be what he was a couple of years back when the 49ers had him and he was offensive player of the year. Like that was a phenomenal season. And I feel like he's got his juice back. He looks like he's the healthiest he's been in a while. He looks explosive. He has that bounce back. You know, everybody that's been at camp has seen that, and that's the key. Because the 49ers do run into running back issues, and I just hope that he can stay healthy. Because we already see Garendo. We've already talked about him and how he has had just a ton of injuries in his short career. And, you know, that we got the two rookies we talked about earlier, but it really comes down to Christian McCaffrey.
He changes everything, and he's looked great whenever he's out there. It's just – man, he's out there, he's off, he's out there, he's off, he's out there, he's off. I don't think you're going to see Christian McCaffrey play at all in the preseason, maybe one or two carries, but definitely not week one. That's huge, but it's just like, man, you know, we were debating about Patrick Taylor Jr. and like, what do you do in this running room? Like, he's the guy they trust, taking reps with the ones, like, they trust him. He doesn't have the explosive or, you know, the whatever it factor or whatever that is, but just so consistent. So do the Niners go with kind of a Tony Gwynn approach where it's like, hey, we're going to get 4 to 5 yards consistently. He's going to do kind of everything that we want to do, scoring touchdowns, receiving touchdown in the red zone portion of practice whenever I was there. Or do you go with this high upside, whatever? I don't know. I personally think Patrick Taylor Jr. is making this roster.
That's your guy, yeah.
His tape is better. Now, I know the upside's not there, but his tape is better. He does special teams. He blocks. He runs the routes. He has good hands. He runs so damn hard. I don't know. Amir Abdullah, is he going to sneak onto this roster? Corey Kiner, like, what do you do? I want consistency over explosiveness and unpredictability personally. I don't know what the Niners are going to do at that position, though.
Yeah, it's a tough spot, and I think Patrick Taylor is good, but right, like I said, like it's going to be a hard spot to crack because you got to play the roster game sometimes. You got to play like, okay, we can put this guy in the practice squad, but you cut the wrong guy, they're going to get claimed. So I could see Patrick Taylor maybe being a practice squad guy, but I could see him being on the roster because he has shown that he can, you know, run this offense and, you know, be effective as a running back. So it's interesting. They got the rookies, and then maybe Garendo, if he opens up on the PUP, it does open up some, you know, roster spots for some of these other guys. So that could be an, you know, area to look into. But if he's healthy, I mean, you're not having Guerrero on your roster, even though he has the issues with the injuries. But it's a tough spot. It's a good problem to have because we have an abundance of talent at that spot. But it's just one of those things. It's like, man, there's a lot of good running backs on this team. So, and Amir Abdullah, I like him too, but he is a little older. I think he's definitely training camp body. But he's a guy that I could see them bring back, maybe practice squad, because you need running back depth. You have, how many times we see week 13, they're making calls, they're working out running backs. So I feel like they have a big group right now stacked up. They can make those calls. Hey, Amir, I know you were with us in offseason training camp. We need you. We need you, man. So I think that's going to be one of those situations. 49ers like to have several players to go to in case of emergency. Break glass, case of emergency type guy. And I think Amir is that guy. One thing you mentioned, though, and one thing me and Larry talked about last night is these guys that are going to make the roster, they want some of these like back-end guys, these depth guys, to have special teams abilities. And the fact that Patrick Taylor does might be the ace to him getting onto this roster. So that's why they were cutting Mason Plyne, right? Because he doesn't really do anything in special teams. He has talent, but he's not going to be beating out some of these other guys that have showcased a little bit more in training camp. And also they have that special teams ability. So that's what I think this team is going to do, because they got a new special teams coordinator and they're putting an emphasis on that. And they really, really, really want to make sure that, okay, if you're a backup guy, you're not going to be in the, you know, playing in the big, you know, snap count, but you're going to be out there during special teams. And if you can't do anything on special teams, you're worthless on this roster. So that to me is the X factor on making this roster this year.
Yeah, yeah. It's big. And that's like, you look at the tight end race, Braden Willis, pretty damn good special teamer. Like, he gets the job done out there. Patrick Taylor's on everything. So like, if you can differentiate yourself, and you know, you even heard Brent Boyer and Robert Saleh say, yeah, special teams is going to be the difference for a lot of these guys. Yeah. Man, could you imagine if the 49ers just had an adequate special teams unit? Like, not even like top 10. Like, I ain't even close to that, but just
in the middle of the road.
Man, yeah. I'd be so happy.
I know, me too. Cause it was just so, so bad. We talk about Sorensen being, you know, happy that he's gone. Schneider, man. Oh God, I'm glad. The day that notification came, I like touched the sky. Hallelujah. I was so happy. I was like, yes, sir. Him and Sorensen, I was doing dancing. I had like, you know, I did a little happy dance. It was a good time. So hopefully Boyer can fix whatever the heck was going on last year. And it seems like that is definitely a key of emphasis. So I'm excited to see the specialty. Cause you're right. If they would have had at least a mediocre special teams, they probably wouldn't have. They probably would have at least won two more games. That's an 8-win season. I'll take an 8-win season over 6 games any day.
Yeah.
So
at least you would have had a chance competing down the stretch. Now, what's interesting, and I don't know if you saw this super chat from 49ers throwback.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little Rams real quick and the playoffs and kind of all those things. What do you make of all this Matthew Stafford, like, back injury, can't even hasn't practiced one day, seeing all these specialists, back injury, disc issues, all that stuff. Shout out to 49ers throwback. Thank you for the super chat. We might get a Jimmy G versus Brock Purdy. What?
We might. Yeah, I saw that notification this morning. I've been kind of following that story. But this morning, Ian Rappaport says, you know, he's got some disc injuries. His back's flaring up. But they're like, oh, it's not. We're not worried. Listen, he's 38 years old with some back injuries. You're going to wake up every morning and feel that every single day. And once you, he's not even getting hit right now. Once he starts playing live bullets, and he gets sacked by Nick Bosa, that back's going to feel a little bit worse the next day. So, honestly, I feel like there might be a big chance. I feel like that percentage is rising, that we're going to see Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the pigskin for several games for the Rams this year at quarterback. I hope to God that's the case. I want to see Jimmy G and the Rams versus Brock Purdy and the Niners, and I want to destroy this man. A throwback says, Fred Warner is going to catch 3 picks and 2 sacks from Nick. Sign me up. If Jimmy Garoppolo is throwing to Devontae Adams, oh my God, we're going to see crash out central. Please. I don't like to wish injuries on anybody, but let's just say I hope that this injury takes a little bit time to heal from. I want him to not rush. I want Matthew Stafford to come back very healthy. I want you not to rush. Don't get injured. Stay safe. You're 38 with a back injury. I know that's not easy. I have a lot of patients that have back injuries. They can be crippling. Please have Jimmy Garoppolo play some games for the Rams. Oh, my God. That would be absolutely funny. Oh, man.
49ers play the Rams week 5 and week 10. So we got October 2nd, and then we've got November 9th, right in the meat of the schedule. A lot of times we've been playing them towards the end of the year. Seahawks is kind of that game for us this year. We only have one division opponent in the last six games of the 2025 schedule, and you end the season at Seahawks at home. But, yeah, it's quite, kind of an interesting schedule this year for sure.
Yeah, you get them all out of the way, and, you know, you're going to know your fate until the end. You just have to rack up those wins against your opponents, and I think the last one is against the Seahawks. So, yeah, it's a weird situation, but obviously you just got to play the hand you're dealt. But I swear, if we play Jimmy Garoppolo, we're going to see a rematch of Jimmy Garoppolo getting picked off from Warner, like in training camp. Do you remember that, the training camp where he threw, like, six interceptions? I was there. Oh, man. I remember afterwards, Twitter – It was on fire. It was like, oh, man. I was like, oh, this is bad.
My favorite Jimmy G, my least favorite Jimmy G moment of all time was that Denver Broncos game. It was him against Russell Wilson. Probably the worst quarterback game I've ever witnessed in my life. He had the pick eight, I think is what it's called, where he walked out of the back of the end zone, then threw a pick six. But, like, oh, my God, it was so bad. And I was sitting next to Wayne Breezy at that game. And the amount of, like, four-letter words that came out of our mouth was just not healthy.
That game was so bad. We had so many chances to win it. We lost, like, it was such a low-scoring, just terrible game. I remember – actually, it's so funny you brought that up, because I was looking last night. I was like, oh, let me look at some, like, throwback, because I like to make the throwback post for, like, the week of the team we play and stuff. And I was, like, going through, and I just type Niners Broncos, and I see the play comes up, and I'm like, oh, God, we're not throwing it back to this post. I was going to throw back to when Jimmy Garoppolo, it's Denver week. That play was, I spit out my drink. I was with a group of friends who were watching it, and I'm posting, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They're like, did you post it, Raj? I was like, I don't want to. But, yeah. I mean, the comments on that were just disgusting. Like, oh, my God.
Some of the worst football I ever played in the NFL.
And then the next day, I think it was Dan Orzlovsky, comes out, and he was, like, laughing at him, like, oh, my God, now I'm not the silliest looking guy. I mean, when you're getting shaded at by a guy that was basically a quarterback meme, it was – I was like, oh.
Yeah. So I hope we get to play him. You know, the funny thing is, like, Kyle Shanahan has this loyalty program where if you've ever played with him, he'll do anything to help you ever, except for Jimmy G. Like, Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo hate each other so much. His comments about how it's weird over there, and don't you think it's weird? And, like, they throwing shots at each other down the end of the press conference. Like, they can't stand each other. So, I'm thankful for what Jimmy G did. He kind of led the turnaround of the 49ers. I get that. And, you know, led us to a Super Bowl appearance. But, yeah, I would be very happy. Very happy to see Jimmy Garoppolo face down the 49ers week 5. Sign me up.
Nick Bosa, come for his neck, tear him up. I want to see it. I'm hyped up. But in the meantime, we got to wait and see how things go. Again, I don't want Stafford to be hurt and get hurt and injured. I don't like to wish injuries on anybody because it's bad karma. But I do want him to take his time and make sure he comes back 100%. So, any other things you want to bring up? Any other comments and stuff? I know we got the game Saturday. We pretty much covered that. Anything else? You got anything going on for yourself this week? I know you're busy with the podcast.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm currently going through and doing, like, a full episode on all 91 players. And so I just recorded number 13, so I'm about 80 episodes in. Here's what I would say. As a fan, if you want to increase your fan experience for this first preseason game, spend a little bit of time and enjoy watching the backup players and the young rookies and all that stuff, and just focus on the positive. There's going to be a lot of negative tape out there. There's going to be some bad plays. Win losses aren't necessarily important this week, but take this time to get to know those back end of the roster guys. This is their time to shine. Some of these guys, it's the last time they'll ever play in the NFL. So dreams are going to be made or broken this week. It's a big deal, and wins and losses don't matter. But people are going to be fighting for their dreams of their lives this weekend. So just pay some respect and focus on the positives that happened from the 49ers perspective. And just enjoy being a fan. I cannot freaking wait to get some more film to break down. And Raj, I do want to just take time to say thank you for all you do for the community. I think we all get our breaking news from you. RS, you know, our SF 49ers on Instagram and every social media platform out there. I think you have the most followers of anybody I've ever met. Probably the most famous person I met. But thank you for all you do, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the kind words. You're too nice. You're the man. You do so much for the community itself. So I'm happy that we got to do this, man. We got to definitely make this a regular thing. Had a good time. Appreciate you hopping in. And everybody that doesn't know John, man, this guy is the guy. Go follow him, 49ers Rush Podcast. If you guys are going to, like, road games, tap in with John. He'll get you set up. You're going to have a fantastic party. Everybody I know that goes to his parties, they love him. I've been to a party. This guy, make sure that you have a good time. So check out my boy, John Chapman. And with that, that's all I got today, man. Hopefully, the 49ers win this game on Saturday. But like you said, it doesn't matter if we win. Let's see these guys go out there, take advantage of their opportunity, because some of them, we'll never see them in the NFL again. But anyways, you guys, you know what to do. Hit the like button, follow, share, all that, blah, blah, blah. Out of here. You guys don't have to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. Take care. Love you. Go Niners. Peace.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.